I'll be in trouble with Myron if I don't get this recorded. So you heard him say that you'll be able to find these classes. Oh, yes, sure. Yes. It's a little bit hard to hear, isn't it? Well, my name's Jimmy Harris. I've been here for just about 2 years. I'm overseeing all of the small groups, life groups. It's where people really get connected. How many of you live about 20 to 30 minutes away? Okay, so most. So there's a good distance that people have to come to be connected and really be in your community. It's a great way to get to know some other folks, build relationships, grow in your relationship with Jesus. And so if you ever want to get connected into a group, you can talk to me. You can go onto the website, you can look up the groups, and you can actually look on a map, and you'll be able to see all the different groups that are close to your house, and email the leader directly, so you can say, hey, we'd like to come to your group. Once a group is full, they'll disappear off the map, so you aren't actually inviting yourself to a group that's no longer open. So people run out of chairs, they're never closed, but there are a limited amount of chairs in people's living rooms. And so that's why I'm always looking for more group leaders. It's been kind of amazing, actually. The group ministry here in just 2 years has grown from 30 to 105 groups that are all over the place, all shapes and sizes, different personalities. And so if you do feel by the end of Steps, we'd really like to host a group. We'd really like to join a group. We'd like to lead one. Please let me know, and I'll help you get plugged in. And so it's Jimmy Harris, jimmy@gracechapel.net is the easiest way to track me down, or you can just call here at the church. I'm going to teach for a little while. I'm going to teach you two things that are really important to me about discipleship. And then you guys will get to some time to talk to each other where you can kind of get to know some other people. This is a great way to get to know some folks that you don't know, kind of break up even if you're with your spouse, kind of meet with some people you wouldn't normally. And a lot of times, almost always actually, a life group forms from the relationships in these classes. And so this is a great place for that to happen. So welcome everybody that's here. The reason why we're on page 45 instead of page 1 is because all the pastors have a different calendar. And so we all have a certain subject, but we all have different calendars. So Myron has the fun job of getting us all in a line. And so it'll jump around. So if you're ever like, I thought we were on page 45, why are we on page 20? That's why. So if you did just get your notes, jump to page 45. And while you're doing that,
I have more notes. A few people, I said I ran out of notes, but I found some under the pile. Anybody need notes? Yep.
So I'm married. I have 3 boys, 14, 9, and 2. Although it was kind of confusing because I was just checking him into his class, and it was the 12 month or something, and I said, I think he's 2. And they said, well, don't you know how old your son is? And I said, I'm pretty sure he's 2. Anyways, he's with the smaller kids tonight, so I couldn't get it figured out. But we've been married 17 years. We were married for 2 weeks when we went into ministry. So after 2 weeks, we got on a bus and drove to northern Idaho to help plant a church with about 10 other people. I worked in a coffee shop, and she was a waitress, and we helped to plant this church that grew from about 20 people to 8,000 in about 7 years in a pretty rural part of northern Idaho. So it was a bizarre, amazing, miraculous experience, and right away it was very clear that we were not going to disciple everybody on Sunday morning, which is true anyways. But we had to admit it right away. And it was actually ended up being a real blessing because we realized, like, that's not really going to work anyways for any of us. We really need to build relationships with other people. We really need to dig into God's Word if we're going to become more like Jesus. And so that has become a big part of my life, a big part of my story and testimony. Is discipleship. How do we grow? How do we really get to know Jesus, get to know other people, let other people know us, and mature into Christ likeness? That's discipleship. And so tonight we're going to be talking about first, what is a disciple, and then discipleship as a process. So you guys all with me? Page 45? Anyone in the wrong class, or this is the first time, kind of a college moment? You guys made it, man. It's a big deal. Like, I want you to know, it's a big deal that you got yourself here. I know some of you, it was just, you just barely made it.
Yeah, Satan was in our car today.
Satan was in the car. You know, the fight on the way here, you know, the kids wouldn't cooperate, whatever it was. I just want to say thank you. You will be blessed. I'm glad that you guys came. This is a great class, and you get to know a lot of different people, a lot of different pastors, elders. And a big part of that is us getting to know you and you getting to know us. And so feel free at the end when we come back together after you guys spend time together to ask me any questions about the church, about me, about small groups. So if you have those burning questions, you can write those down and we will get a chance to talk about those. So page 45, I will do my best to fill in every blank for those of you who have blank anxiety. So just to kind of relieve that stress, at the end of every section are all the answers, just written out in the right order. So you'll look on page 48, you'll see the answers are right there. So if you do miss one, it's okay. You can catch it right there. I'll try to do it, though. So the first one is... Yeah, there's no exam. You know, I had an anxiety dream. I haven't had an anxiety dream since college. Last night, I dreamt that I had this... I was driving on a very dangerous road really fast with a steering wheel about this big. And I was just trying to turn as fast as I could. So I just get, you know, at least it wasn't I was speaking in front of you with no pants or something, you know. I haven't had one of those forever. We're trying to sell our house. I'm sure that's it. So in order to grow to spiritual maturity is the first fill in the blank. And walk in community. Every Christian needs to become a disciple. So Jesus is on the Sea of Galilee. He's calling his disciples. He's teaching. He actually gets into Simon's boat and teaches from the boat. You know, you can kind of imagine him bobbing in the water, teaching the people on the shore. And then he says to Simon, after they'd already cleaned their nets, go out and throw your nets into the deep water. And just to understand a little bit, he had already cleaned the nets, and he's an expert. So he's a pro fisherman, and so he kind of explains kindly to Jesus that we already fished all night, because that's when you do it, right? We just fished all night, we didn't catch anything, and we just cleaned our nets, right? He says, I'm not going to open the store just for you. But he says, all right, but because you say so, Lord, I'll do it. So he goes out, throws his nets, and he catches so many fish that the nets actually begin to tear. And the fish are coming into the boat, and it's filling up the boat, and it's coming into the boat, and it's actually even starting to sink. It's so full of fish. And they have to call the other boats from the shore. And so you can kind of imagine the other boats are coming from the shore out to the other boat to collect. And those boats start to get filled up with fish. And Simon's reaction is kind of surprising. Simon's reaction is, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Once he got really close to Jesus, once he really knew who he was like, I am a mess. Right? I think a lot of us can relate. As we get a little bit closer to Jesus, we're like, wow, I'm a mess. And Jesus says, come follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. And he did. They dropped their nets, they left the catch, and they followed him. And that's really the story of discipleship, is Jesus calling us, and then us going with him. And all of us kind of have gotten to that point differently. But ultimately, it's the same question to us, is do you want to follow Jesus? That's discipleship. But what is discipleship? Like, what does the word mean? How do we define discipleship? It's hidden, actually, in the invitation. Jesus actually hid the definition in the invitation. So he says, come, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. So I'm just going to draw a little triangle up here. And you guys, I expect that you all will be able to teach this by the time I'm done. Don't take this class like you're a student. Take this class like you're a teacher. Imagine sitting down with your kids and saying, this is what a disciple is. Imagine when somebody asks you, what does it mean to be a Christian? Don't say where the church you go to. Tell them what a disciple is. People have taken this class, and the very next day, the person cutting their hair asked them, what does it mean to be a Christian? And they said, well, actually, it's funny you asked that. Let me tell you what a disciple is. A disciple is somebody who follows Jesus, right? Come follow me. That's Matthew 4:19. Come follow me. And I will make you, which is change, a fisher of men, which is the mission. So your little fill in the blanks on your triangles, follow, change, mission. Follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. Now, why does it even matter? Like, why do we even need to define this? There's a true story. There was a marksman in the Olympics. He had lined up to take his final shot, and if he got a bullseye on this shot, he was going to win the gold medal. Pulls the trigger. He knows he hit it. He starts high-fiving his teammates. He's cheering because he's like, I just won the gold medal. And they come and they say, well, there's a problem. You didn't hit the target at all. And they don't do that. I mean, they don't miss the whole target, right? These guys miss by this much, right? But they said, you missed the entire target. And he says, impossible. I saw it. I saw that I hit dead center. And then they eventually realized he had done a perfect shot, but it wasn't in his lane. It was in the lane next to his. So he made a perfect shot, but it was the wrong target. See, the problem isn't that you guys aren't going to be disciples or make disciples. You're going to. In fact, you already are. I don't need to talk you guys into making disciples. You are making disciples. But is it the right target? Are you making followers of Jesus, right? If you were to say, all right, if you looked around and saw who was following you, because the real problem is us, right? Are we very much like Jesus? Like, you are going to make disciples because people are following you. Your kids are following you, whether you want them to or not. They're going to pick up the bad stuff and the good stuff. You know, the people that are your friends, they're watching. What does it mean to be a Christian? The people at work, they're trying to figure out who Jesus is just by looking at you. And that's discipleship, following, right? But if we were really honest, and I won't go into detail because it's depressing, but if we're really honest about the church in general, it's not doing a very good job producing people that are like Jesus. It's actually done an okay job getting believers in Jesus. And you see the difference? Like, you can believe in Jesus and never follow him. I do believe that he died on the cross for my sins, but I don't want to do anything that he's telling me to do. I don't want to actually follow what he says in the word. I don't want to actually do it at all. And so you can decide to believe in Jesus and go, yeah, I believe in him. But remember who else believes? The demons believe and shudder, right? Jesus said. So believing is not enough. And Jesus is saying, man, don't, because remember what Peter said, get away from me, I'm a mess, which is true, right? He was a mess, just like you and me. Like, you guys all, I hope, know that I'm a mess. Like, I don't have everything together. I hate to ruin that the very first week for some of you. But it's just not true. None of the pastors are perfect. None of them have everything together. We all have problems and things we're working through. And that's a good thing because of how great Jesus is. And we want him to be lifted up high. And it's really important that you don't idealize the staff, because the staff are just people. I mean, they're just people that are working in a church, just like I could be in your seat, right? So Jesus is saying, come follow me and I will make you. So let's talk about each piece, you know. But I don't want to go into the terrible statistics, you know, about the church and how you can kind of put a non-Christian up against a Christian and they don't look that different. I don't know, if you want to look it up, do Barna. and you'll find all kinds of statistics about the church. In fact, if we were a factory and we were going to kind of judge what kind of factory we were by what was coming out the other side, we might have to rename the factory, right? Can you imagine if we were making toasters and all of a sudden bicycles started coming out the other end? We could say, well, we need to go back. There's a big problem. Or we could just change the name, right? Bicycle factory. But we have to admit at some point that people don't seem very much like Jesus. They definitely believe that he exists. They definitely believe their sin problem's covered. But they don't seem to be intentional about following him, definitely not helping anyone else follow him. So follow, when I talk about follow, I mean Jesus is alive. You can't follow a person that's dead, can you? Jesus is alive, which means he's spoken through the word, but he is speaking still today. God has something to say, and it's different for everyone in the room. And if we were listening, he has a lot to say, right? The problem isn't that he's not speaking. The problem is that we're not listening. He used to say, whoever has ears, let him hear, right? Everybody had ears. In fact, he had already healed the guy with couldn't hear, right? Everyone's standing there, and they all have ears, but he's saying, whoever has ears, let him hear. He meant not everyone is really listening, right? You're hearing my words, but you're not really listening. It's kind of like my wife and I sometimes have conversations, and she says, you're not listening. And I'm like, yes, I am. You just said this. And she said, well, that's what I said, but you're still not listening. And I'm like, what does that mean? You know, I wasn't listening. She said, do you care about what I was saying? And I was like, no. You see what I'm saying? And there's a big difference, isn't there? Like really hearing somebody versus just kind of being able to regurgitate back. You know, I just watched a video of somebody speaking about this, and they said they told their daughter to go clean the room. Can you imagine if she came back and he said, so, how'd it go? And they're like, I memorized what you said, right? You said, go clean your room, right? In fact, I memorized it in Greek. And he's like, yeah, but did you clean your room? And they're like, no, but I memorized it, right? I remember saying, in fact, I have a few friends. We're all going to come over and we're going to discuss what it would be like if we all cleaned our rooms. And he's like, that's not what I'm talking about, right? And that's what I mean by follow. Follow means actually that we hear what he says, right? And that we do it because Jesus is alive. It's an important part of the good news. It's not just that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, which we couldn't even stand here and talk at all if that wasn't the case. But that he's still alive, right? Jesus is alive is the good news. And he has things to say, and he wants to give us life now and for eternity. He doesn't want to just give us life later when we're dead. And so I just want you to know that the good news includes your actual life. The problems you have right now with your marriage and your job and your kids and your work and your money, wherever you're just a disaster, Jesus has something to say about all of it. He's very alive in all of that. And so that's follow. When I say changed, I mean you can't follow Jesus and stay exactly like you are right now. If 10 years goes by and you look back and you're just the same, you should say, wait a minute, I haven't been listening. Right? I mean, I go through long stretches where I'm like, why am I still struggling with this dumb thing? This thing that bugs me or this thing that I keep doing, you know? And you go, why am I struggling with this dumb thing still? And it's like, I can always trace back where Jesus said, I want you to do this. And I said, okay, but I want to go that way, right? And I stopped listening. And he doesn't talk anymore. When we do that, he gives us a little break until we come back and say, all right, I'm ready to listen again. Now, what were you saying? And he just starts right back where we were the last time we talked. Anybody else experience that? It's like, what was the last thing he said is a good question to ask. Like, what was the last thing God said? to you. And so you can retrace your steps, but you can't follow Jesus and not be changed. When he said, fishers of men, you know, when we talk about mission, a lot of people think Africa or somewhere else. I just met some missionaries from Uganda in Spring Hill. And they were sent from Uganda to Spring Hill to reach out to us Americans. And it dawned on me, like, oh no. Because we were supposed to, right, be Christians over here sending missionaries there, right? But they're very aware of what's going on with the factory problem. And they're saying, you know what? You know, we're kind of more Christians over here now. Yeah. Evie? Evie? Evie or Evie? Baby problems. Yes. I thought for sure it was going to be Wyatt. Is he doing all right? Oh, good. He looked real iffy when I dropped him off. He was like, I don't know about this. So, yeah, mission. So mission's just the people you are already in relationship with. Now, if God ever says go somewhere else, then do it. But until then, it's them. Right? Most of us aren't going to go to Africa and be missionaries like Myron. Okay. And we're not supposed to. Not everybody's supposed to go to Africa, or then we'd have to send everybody back here, right? It doesn't make any sense. So a lot of times when we talk about mission, people go, ugh, I'm not listening. So I mean your actual life, your spouse, your kids, your friends, the people at work. Like, you have a mission already. And so when Jesus actually says to Peter, who's a fisherman, you know, I'm going to make you a fisher of men, that had to just blow his mind. Especially after he just saw what happened. Right? With the fish. And so when we talk about mission, I just want to explain one thing. Okay, I'm sure there's lots of things we could talk about, but one important thing is that we don't do a very good job with the third generation. 1, 2, 3. Like, we might do okay with our kids. We might do okay with our kids. But can they pass it on to our grandkids? That's mission. Mission goes 3 layers deep. It doesn't go 1. So sometimes we do a really good job for one generation. We might have a really good church. Like Grace Chapel might be really great. And then Steve dies tragically, and we don't hand it off to anybody else very well. And you know what I'm saying? Or you are able to share Christ with a good friend, but you didn't give it to them in such a way that they could give it to anybody else. You understand what I'm saying? If you give people something they can't hand off, it's not mission. So that's why, you know, you want things to be simple. This is the conflict I have most with small groups, is they want the groups to be complicated. And I'm like, no. So, and that's your hopes. That's not going to happen. So Jesus, I mean, doing what Jesus said is complicated enough, right? So that's what we do. I mean, we just study what Jesus said and we try to do it. We try to learn what Jesus did and do that, right? That's what we're doing in small groups. But a lot of times we're like, yeah, but we want to go into like deep study, like super deep. Like, or we want to study this cool topic. And I say, that's cool. Like, you could watch that video, but at the end of that video, can anybody do what that guy on that video just did? And if the answer is no, then it's not reproducible. Right? If everyone can't leave and now go do what that guy on the video just did, I mean, what if I was to say out to all of you, everybody, go preach Steve's sermon from Sunday. I mean, you can't do it. It's very important that we have simple things that we can all do, right? We can study what God said in the Word, and we could even pass that on to our kids that next week. We could say, this is the thing I'm learning in my small group. I learned one story. Here it is. So that's why I'm always fighting for simple. Does that make sense? So a mission is 3 generations, not 2. So if whatever you're doing, when you think about discipleship, when you think about investing in others, when you think about loving other people, doing ministry, if what you're doing cannot be done, then it's not very helpful for the kingdom long term. And that's why I draw a triangle. You know? Because you guys could all teach this, right? Follow Jesus, because it starts from the scripture, which is, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In case you forget everything I said, Matthew 4:19 is, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Right? And you can go back to that and go, now what were the three things? Following Jesus, changed by Jesus on mission. Does that make sense? Are you guys tracking with me? Okay, so that's, what is a disciple? That's us defining what a disciple is. Did everybody get your 1, 2, and 3 fill in the blanks there? Spiritual maturity is being like Christ. Did you guys get that? Right at the bottom there. So if you're wondering, what does it look like to be mature? That's the answer, to be like Jesus. Now, when a lot of people hear, I want to be more like Jesus, they do just exactly what Simon did. Like if I was to say, you guys need to be more like Jesus, everyone goes, yeah, good luck, right? It's not going to happen. Jesus is here, and I'm way down here, and it's never going to happen. Jesus really thought you can. In fact, a lot of the things that Jesus did, you actually can do. Like he had a little group of friends. He cared about weird people. You can do that, right? That's not like really weird, something you can't do, right? I mean, he noticed when people reached out to him. You understand what I'm saying? These are very practical things. He loved a very diverse group of people. So there are so many things that we can do to be like Christ that we don't pay attention to, because when we hear Christ, we hear perfect. And we go, and we just give up. Because we think, well, perfect, I'm out. Anybody kind of have that feeling when you're like, man, I want to be like Jesus? That's crazy. So you want your target to be very tight. If you're going to shoot at a target, you don't want to have a weird, vague target. You want to have a very clear target. So the target is Jesus himself. That's the target. That's how do we become more like him? And so some of you may have heard of the E3 Challenge. It's e3challenge.net. You can go onto the Grace Chapel website. You can kind of look and watch a video kind of about what it is. But very simply, it is the life of Jesus lined out in a series of stories, 120 stories. And you just walk through one at a time with a few questions. That's what we do in our small groups. It's we're learning how to do what Jesus said. So if you were to jump into a life group, that's what you would be doing. So the first question might be, what did you guys learn from the sermon? That could go for a long time, right? I mean, right? You might spend some nights all night long just talking about what God's showing you from the sermon. But let's say that you spend 15 minutes talking about that, and then you say, all right, now let's dig in. And we pull up one story in the life of Jesus, and we just dig into it. So that's the brilliant vision of the E3 Challenge. Just simply do what Jesus said. So are we all on page 46? So we explained the target, but we all know that like the process of that is a little bit more fuzzy. And we're going to talk about the process a little bit. So, number one, it is a process. Discipleship is a process. It doesn't just happen to you. Right? Ta-da, I'm like Jesus. Right? We know this because we all know ourselves, and we know that that hasn't happened. And so we go, all right, it is a process, but you can grow, can't you? You can mature in your faith as you go along. No matter where you're at, you can learn it. You can learn how to be more and more like Jesus. So what does that look like? The word disciple made a lot of sense to Hebrew culture. They totally got it. It was just like, when people said disciple, they thought of what? Who were the teachers around? Rabbis. Yes, rabbis. So they would go, if you said disciple, they went, it's a guy who walks around, he has followers, they become exactly like him, and the saying is that when the rabbi dies, it'll be as if he never died, because his students will be so much like him. just this perfect picture of discipleship. But once they moved out beyond the Jewish ring, right, the language changed, and the word disciple disappears from the Bible and never comes back. So did they just go, you know, it's too hard. Let's just not do it. Jesus said, go make disciples, but it's just too hard. No, they realized they went up to their very first Greek person to explain it. And they said, you need to be a disciple of Jesus. And they said, what? What does that mean? Because they have no frame of reference. That's also true of American culture. We don't, you know, the idea of an apprenticeship, it's kind of rare. I think sometimes you even have to pay for it, right? It's not the norm. Fathers don't pass on their trades, right? Discipleship doesn't really make sense in our culture either. That's not what we're used to. And so the reason why they changed language is because people didn't understand. So they switched the language from disciple to family language because everybody had a family and everybody understood that. And so you'll notice Paul starts saying, I wish that you would stop being babies and that you would grow up, that you would mature, that you would, you know, stop drinking milk and that you would begin eating some solid food. Does everybody can kind of understand that? It's like, don't keep being a baby forever spiritually. Or Jesus actually used some of this language too, and he said you need to be born again, right? You need to start over fresh. Well, I'm going to walk you through a little process. Just kind of have to remember a little bit what are the processes of maturity looks like. Can everybody see this circle? Sorry, you probably are having the hardest time. So everybody, do you guys already have all this with the words and everything? Okay, so look at your little diagram there. Everybody goes through this process naturally, but we're going to just kind of stop and think about each one for a second. Now, I don't mean spiritually yet. I just mean physically. Describe a dead person. Lifeless, not alive. Not alive. Still not alive. What else? Cold. No heartbeat. Can't move.
Decaying.
Not breathing. Okay. What about birth, ladies? Guys, be quiet. Girl. Describe birth. Painful.
Joy.
Fear. Yes, very scary. It's very miraculous. Anything else?
Expensive.
Good one. Good one. What about a baby? Like a little I can hold it baby. Describe a baby. Yeah, aw. Aw is a word, I guess. I don't know how to spell it. So how else would you describe a baby? Needy, precious,
innocent,
helpless. Demanding. Demanding. Yes. Mad. They don't get what they want. What about like an elementary school child? Everybody can. What are they like?
Stubborn.
Stubborn. Very. Impressionable. Loud, sweet, they're super curious, adventurous, that's a good word. Yeah, so trusting.
Mm-hmm.
Very messy. They need a lot of guidance. What about a young adult, like we're talking teen? They are. I mean, we could probably put that for all of them, but like... Yes, they eat a lot of food. What else? Young adults.
They know-it-alls.
They're know-it-alls. There's kind of a sophomore thing happening, right? You think you know everything. Yeah. What else?
Rebellious.
Mm-hmm. There can be a rebellious attitude.
Quick to act.
I don't really think things through all the way. Yeah. Yeah, they're beyond us in many ways. I'm going to get my son to show me how to use things all the time. What else?
Liberal.
Who?
Very liberal.
Liberal? Okay. What else? Young adults.
Don't think of the consequences.
Yeah, they don't think of the consequences. That's good. So you're kind of getting in the frame of kind of remembering some of you and kind of trying to forget some of you. So what about a parent? A parent?
Awesome.
What'd you say?
Awesome.
Awesome. Parents are awesome. They're protecting, right. Describe them.
Nurturing.
Exhausted. Nurturing. That's usually first, exhausted. Nurturing. They're a teacher, aren't they? They're kind of the guide. What?
Sacrificial.
Mm-hmm. And so you kind of hear that description. Now we're going to just go right back over and we're going to say, what do they need? Now we're going to go back at the beginning. What's a dead person need? Life, right? They need some charge of electricity or oxygen. They need to be woken up. What do you need to have a successful birth?
Easy labor.
An epidural. That's right. An easy birth, epidural. As much drugs as possible, yeah. Anything else?
Health.
Yep. How about a infant? What does an infant need? Like a baby.
They need
lots of food, lots of love. In fact, love maybe even above food. We know the long-term damage done now by a baby not being loved but still fed. So they need to be loved. They actually need to have somebody look at them and think they're cute. Like they need that. Their little brain is forming, saying, it's asking one question. It's like, are you going to feed me? And am I precious or not? You know? Yeah. What about a child? Like, what's that? What do they need?
Discipline.
Guidance. Protection, guidance.
Affirmation,
instruction. Also still love. What about a teenager? Is there anything unique that a teenager needs?
Space.
That's a good word. What?
Space and boundaries.
And boundaries. Yeah, they need space, boundaries. What else do
acceptance.
Acceptance. That's probably their biggest need. Yep, acceptance. What else?
Mentor.
A mentor. That's really important during that stage, for sure. Love. Mm-hmm.
Authenticity.
Yeah, they're looking for the real thing, for sure. And they're questioning things, and they're kind of figuring out how to do stuff. So they need to practice a little bit. They need to fail a little bit. So what about a parent? What's a parent need?
Sleep.
They need sleep so bad. What?
Babysitters.
They need grandparents. Yes.
Lots of money.
Lots of money. Resources, support. Now, I hope you're making the connection, but just in case you missed it, this is also true spiritually. Okay, what happens when you go into a mall and you walk up to the map? What are the two things you need to know? Where you are. Where you want to go. Everybody always gets this right. Okay, that's all you need to know with this thing too, okay? Is when you look at this, you go, spiritually, where am I at on here? If I was really honest, where am I really at on here? Like, where do I live most of the time in my walk with Jesus? Am I just like taking it in? You know, I just need everything, God. I got nothing. I'm not even going to move. Like, bring the food to me, right? Am I at the place where I'm sort of, you know, I'm kind of wiggling around and playing and kind of curious and I'm learning all kinds of things, but I'm very naive. And you know, I need a lot of guidance, direction, boundaries. Am I kind of more like a young adult spiritually, where I'm kind of experimenting, I'm kind of pushing the boundaries a little bit, I'm kind of being a little bit rebellious, kind of have an attitude. So a lot of times people, when they move into that young adult stage, they actually feel like they went backwards. But sometimes when you start feeling that kind of like, yeah, but what do I think about this? Pastor says this, but what do I think? They think, well, I just went backwards. That's an important stage, isn't it? To kind of owning your own faith, just like a teenager. What about like a parent? What do you absolutely have to be a parent?
A child,
right? You can't be a parent. So if you are not being intentional to help anyone else spiritually, you are not a spiritual parent. Right? And so one of the wonderful things about leading a life group is that you're actually putting yourself into a little situation with a bunch of people you might not like that much. You might like some of them, but you're not going to like all of them. And you're going to help them grow. You're just helping them along. You don't know what to do most of the time either, but you're just willing. I mean, do any parents really know what they're doing? I mean, there's no manual, right? And discipleship's the same way. We don't really know what we're doing, but if we're willing to take some people under our wing, we are making disciples. Does that make sense? DB? Number two. We just took it to the next level. So, you guys tracking with me? So if you guys, I just kind of want to get a feel. Do you guys kind of know where you camp spiritually? I've talked to people that are like, man, I'm 60 years old, but I'm a spiritual infant. Or I've seen kids that are 14 that are spiritual parents. You understand what I'm saying? It's not about your age. And I'm not telling anybody. I hope nobody misunderstands me and thinks you have to actually be a parent. I hope you're not, this is an analogy. Like, you don't have to be a parent to understand what I'm saying. This is just an analogy. Like, to be a spiritual parent, there's plenty of orphans, right? You can be a parent anytime you want to be. You can be intentional about it. In fact, how many of you were very intentionally and very personally discipled? Someone came alongside you and they really walked you through, here's how to follow Jesus and this is what it looks like and let me help you and walk you through. How many? I want to see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. About 10. Which is amazing. That was the highest I've ever seen. So that's fantastic. So you think about the difference. Everybody that raised your hand, think about the difference that made in your life. I mean, think about it. All right, number two, it is not automatic. Maturity doesn't happen to you. There are 30-year-olds that live in their parents' basement. They're 15-year-olds with jobs. Like, it's not automatic. You have to do something. Number three, it takes discipline. It will be not always comfortable to grow. Number four, spiritual maturity is related to discipleship. And if I was really honest, I don't know what that means. Number four. You guys tell me after class. So spiritual maturity. So I guess they go like this. I didn't write that part, so I don't know. Myron will tell me later. So there's extra stuff in there you can look at, but that's all for now. And now we're going to break into groups. And I'm going to add a question, if it's okay. Where are you at? I mean, right? Can't use the mall map if you don't know where you're at. Share where you kind of think you're at, if you're willing, in your group. That's it.